Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 4th of January, recording at 9:17 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, another very exciting day in here today. First, let's take the good news. Well, it's pretty well all good news, unless you're a dollar bull. But we've had rampant stock markets in here today, led by many of the favorites, and a number of prior good performers that were sort of luffing in the wind there for a while during the latter part of December and first few days of this year have broken upwards recently. I'm talking markets such as Brazil, Mexico, and another surge in Canada. The upper dynamics on Wall Street late last night, were absolutely phenomenal. So this is all good stuff. Now, so where's the bad news, David? Well, it's climactic action. In other words, the action is becoming too good. And that doesn't mean that it won't run further in here. I think it's quite likely to do so because markets take on a momentum, as we see over and over and over again, a momentum all of their own. And I've written a piece about this development for Comment of the Day. I haven't posted it yet. I just looked at my watch and thought, gosh, I'd better get the audio up for the early rural retirees. But certainly we're seeing phenomenal strength right now. And when it's this easy to make money, it's usually becoming, well, it's almost inevitably becoming a more dangerous environment overall. But pure technical evidence, look at some of the trends. Owens put some of them up. We're seeing some, we're seeing definite acceleration enter in here. And we're seeing acceleration, whether you take the whole overall move for a number of indices since March 2003. Have a look at that TSE2 section in Japan. And we're also seeing acceleration in the very good moves that started from the October reaction lows last year. Now, Owen makes a very important point in his charts section here today in Comment of the Day. And you might remember that after we saw some upper dynamics in mid-October, which checked that downward reaction, which was in part the Katrina induced reaction, and we got some very powerful upward dynamics. And I said, just watch the October lows. As long as the October lows hold, we don't need to worry. Give the upside the benefit of the doubt. Well, none of those October lows were taken out, except I think briefly, I think one of the NASDAQ indices, or maybe both the NASDAQ indices, did for a day or two, but nothing more, no follow-through. Everything else held that I watch, held those lows, and moved steadily higher. Well, now you want to watch, the focal point should be really the year-end lows that we were seeing. So I'm really talking about those late December reaction lows. While those hold, give the upside the benefit of the doubt. Now, if we're lucky in here, and we may well be lucky, we can get a real surge on the upside, and that could carry right through January into February. That's my best case scenario, but we need to be conscious of several things. We don't want to be becoming more bullish if that takes place. We want to be becoming more cautious. Now, that doesn't mean that you bail out of everything preemptively, but one should certainly use trailing stops, if not actual stops, use mental stops. I know that's a tactic for traders more often than not, but again, I've already pointed out levels. Watch the end December reaction lows. As long as those hold, then fine. And then watch dynamics. We don't want to see any clear downward dynamics and follow through. In other words, if you get a sudden downward reaction, we'll see that from time to time. You may get more warning shots across the bow. But if it's an important signal, then you get a more or less immediate and dramatic follow through rather than just a one-day a one-day wonder. Now, I'm going to be talking you through all of this and writing about it, and you'll be looking at the charts in the library and elsewhere, as you should in here, so we can all monitor this. But my point is, don't become more bullish as this goes up. Recognize it for what it is. It's almost certainly climactic action. I think we're getting a bit of a buying panic in here. As I've said in my comment of the day, a lot of very smart people out there who manage a lot of money recognize that this bull run from March 2003 is very long in the tooth. And they are also increasingly concerned about a denouement. Now, my hunch is that that denouement unraveling comes in the second quarter and or third quarter of this year, but nobody knows for sure. And the optimists are already saying, well, we're probably not going to see trouble until 2007. Well, anybody's guess is in with a chance in here, but that would be a cyclical statistical aberration. We usually get the big shakeout in the second year of the U.S. presidential election cycle, whereas the third and fourth years are usually very strong. So the good news here in the short term, market action's fantastic. It's also becoming climactic. That means we're going to get a much bigger reaction than we've seen at any time since March 2003 and lasting for a longer period of time. It'll be quite terrifying, no doubt, in a number of markets. And that will create a fabulous buying opportunity. How much money we leave on the table or how much we cash up is very much a personal choice in all this. I'm certainly more risk averse than I was now. It doesn't mean that I'm not playing things fairly aggressively in here, but I'm using tighter money control disciplines, and I do intend to raise a bit more cash, but I'm probably not going to sell my very favorite positions. My investments in India would be a classic example. Thailand, some of my favorite resources positions, the Investec Global Energy Fund, some of my key mining stocks. I'm probably not going to sell those unless those really go parabolic, in which case I'd use it mental trailing stop type of action, if not an actual trailing stop. Okay, now let's move on here. In terms of government bonds also moving up, this is partly the liquidity story in here, and also a certain amount of repositioning of portfolios, I suspect. In other words, people are sort of already beginning to increase exposure in bonds. And I think in terms of hedge fund activity, there's probably quite a bit of leverage that's being deployed here as well. Now, currencies. This is important. The dollar really is getting nailed in here. It had a big down day yesterday, big down day in here today. We've now got a lower low and a lower high. This does look important, and you've known my view on this all along. The probability of a good rally from that 80 support level, it was a surprisingly good rally. I'm talking about going right back to the end of 2004 when the dollar index got down to that 80 level. We were likely to see a very good rally from that level, and it's been an extremely good rally. But equally, I've been saying for months that really this 90 area, a little above, a lot of resistance there, no big upside scope, and that we're likely to see quite a significant correction in here this year. Well, the lower low and the lower high, I think, add some real technical beef to that view. And the action that we've seen in the last couple of days reflects a mood change among Forex traders, who, of course, were extremely bullish at the U.S. dollar up at year end. So, that's bullish for the precious metals, and I'm feeling a little bit nervous here right now because I've taken my profits here yet again. Another good move, and I'd like to buy back at lower levels, but if the dollar doesn't bounce a bit in here, and if those former highs that we've seen don't cause a few more people to maybe pause and reflect and take some profits, then I'm going to be in trouble, and I'll have to go scrambling back in if I wish to participate. If I do that, I won't go in big. I'd go in small, protect the position, add to it within a rising trend, if that's what followed. You know my view on these precious metals; it's hugely bullish. But again, I'm going to drop back to that stock market correction. If I'm right, and we do see a correction this year, which is considerably larger than anything we've seen since March 2003, I would expect that to drag down just about everything. So I don't think gold would buck that trend at all. Well, what are some of the catalysts in here? Oil. That's got to be a concern. Prices are back above $63. The consensus forecast is around 45. And we're not all that far away from those Katrina highs, or 63.38 here right now. Now we've got some figures coming out on some of the oil data coming out tomorrow on supplies for the U.S., and that's likely to roil the market here. One reason why I took another profit here today in the gasoline, but I'm still represented there in the natural gas, and that's been the falling catch the falling knife category of nibbling on the way down and hoping it's not too far away from the actual bottom. But of course, we haven't seen an upward dynamic here yet. I got an email from someone who said, "Well, how do you use a stop?" And I forget the adjective he used, but it was the equivalent of dodgy or hairy. Market like natural gas. Well, the object of the exercise in markets, I would argue, is always to buy low and to sell high. And then there's that secondary tactic of buying higher in hopes of selling higher still, or averaging up if you can protect your position with stops. But overall, the big money is made by buying low and selling high. We all know that. So if we have a market in free fall, and I think it's becoming overextended and it's beginning to look climactic, and I wish to anticipate by going in with a baby steps tactic and starting to accumulate before I see evidence of the low, I'm not going to be using a stop for that. What I am going to do is to trade well within my capital available for that exercise. In other words, the money control is crucial in this. And I will allow also for a considerable overshoot relative to my expectations. So that's the way I'm going to play it. I don't really start to use the stops until positions have clearly turned and are starting to trend and in my favor, and then I'm introducing the stops. Although I did introduce a stop when I bought copper the other day, because copper's had such a huge overall move on the upside, it would have been irresponsible not to introduce a stop at the same time I opened a long position. But I'm not introducing a stop here on natural gas. I may well do so if it bounces, as I hope, before too very long. And tactics of this nature, of course, crop up all the time, and you see me discuss it as I write about my personal portfolio positions. Okay, what else to mention in here? I've covered precious metals. I think it's quite unlikely, especially now that the dollar is weakening, that we would see them go down and retest last month's reaction lows. I can't rule that out. People, at one stage we were getting a clear downward dynamic in here today, but it was turned out to be another example of the shakeout fake out. In other words, the markets rebounded again. I thought about possibly buying, but then I'm I'm a bit more risk averse here right now, and just didn't do it, although it certainly would have been a good idea. But if we get a lot of backing and filling in here at these levels, that will be clearing the market of overbought conditions and setting up a new platform of support to launch another move on the upside. And I would certainly have to come back in. We'll see. It's nothing but exciting, though. It's nothing if not exciting, right? And I think that's it, folks. The only precious metal position that I still have is the palladium, and it's a moderate. It's not a small position, a moderate-sized position for me. So I'm glad to still have that representation there. And in terms of tactics, here I'm not risking all that much. I've got a big leveraged position now, reasonably big in that Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust, but I bought it in four successive tranches, and I now have all of those positions protected within the money stops. That doesn't mean the market couldn't open down below my stops, given some unpleasant fright to the market. Hopefully not, obviously. And those stops are staggered somewhat. They're tightest on the more expensive purchases. And that's pretty much it. All the best.